So when we talk about Yiddish language, when we talk about any language, we are necessarily also talking about culture, right? We can't really study the language in isolation from the culture. And one of the most important developments over the 1,000 years that the Jews of Eastern Europe were speaking Yiddish was the emergence, the rise of the Hasidic movement, which I'm sure, you know, Rabbi Ari could say a lot more from the inside than I could say about that from the outside. But I'm going to use one cultural artifact of that movement to work together to shore up our knowledge of conjugating verbs in the third person present. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about this cultural artifact, this song that hopefully you received today, as the Rebbe singt, when the Rebbe sings. So the Hasidic movement arises as a lot of things, but in part a critique of a sort of strictly hierarchical Jewish society that had privileged knowledge, and particularly legal knowledge, as kind of the apex of everything, but knowledge that was available to a relatively select few, and that privileged learning over every other kind of Jewish activity. And along, now I'm speaking very broadly, along comes Hasidus, the Hasidic movement in the 18th century. And it's a populist movement. It's a movement that believes that the very highest spiritual experiences are available to any Jew, no matter how simple. And it's a mystical and spiritual movement that says, yes, learning Torah remains important. Toira is the bestest choira, as we said last week, but davening, prayer, singing together, spending time together, exchanging words of Torah together in a communal setting, these are also very important religious experiences. And so we have a folk song, as the Rebbe singt, that emerges from this kind of a reality where Hasidim would go and spend time with the Rebbe, with their spiritual leader, and he was understood to be a figure for emulation. Whatever the Rebbe did, that was exemplary, and everybody else wanted to do it too. And so that's what this folk song is built around. And what is going to happen in this song, and because it's a folk song, we don't have a single author, and we don't have an authoritatively correct version. People add on all kinds of different verses, different stanzas, but there are some traditional ways to sing it. And so we see this very repetitive song emerge that has the Rebbe doing something, and then all the Chassidim doing it also. And then there's an onomatopoeia, there's a sound that sounds like the thing being done that gets sung at the end of the stanza. So first I want to look at the words together, just read through and make sure we understand all of the words. And then I want to show you a very lovely version that I found on YouTube today, sung by Theodore Bekel, and we'll listen to him. And then maybe we can all unmute ourselves and try to sing along with Theodore Bekel. So the song is called As the Rebbe Singt, When the Rebbe Sings. And it starts out, As the Rebbe Singt, As the Rebbe singt. Some people sing as the Rebbe singt un as the Rebbe singt. So I put it with the word un, which is just and. Zingen alle Chassidim. All of the Chassidim sing. And then that repeats. Zingen alle Chassidim. And then you'll hear different onomatopoeias for singing. And the most common one is tra-la-la-la-la. But there are some other ones in circulation. And if you look on YouTube for As the Rebbe Singt, either in Hebrew characters, Yiddish characters, or if you just write it out in English, you'll find a whole lot of different versions. So it always starts out with As the Rebbe Singt. Then it usually goes on to As the Rebbe Tanzt. Anyone want to hazard a guess or know what tansen is? Tans? Ada?
Dance.
Dance. Okay.
Right.
So the most common onomatopoeia that we have in Yiddish for dance is something like I die hop, hop, hop. Or sometimes you'll hear it just hop, hop, hop. Hop is hop. So I die hop, hop, hop. I die hop, hop, hop. As the Rebbe tanz, when as the Rebbe tanz, tanz na l'chsidim, all of the chsidim also dance. Then the version that we're going to hear, the Theodor Bekel version, has as the Rebbe schweigt. Now, we had a sprichwort, we had a saying last week, Reden is silver, schweigen is gold. Yeah?
Silence. So
exactly, to remain silent. So reden is speech is silver, silence is golden. So as der Rebbe schweigt, when the Rebbe is silent, schweigen alle chsidim, then all of the chsidim also remain silent. And then it usually concludes with as der Rebbe schloft. Schlofen? Oh, I see someone's waiting.
Sleep.
Okay, so as the Rebbe schloft, schlofen al chsidim. When the Rebbe sleeps, all of the chsidim also sleep. And then there are a number of other verbs that can be added in. So a very common one, it's not in the Theodor Bekel version, but one that I like to sing with my students usually, is as the Rebbe lacht, lachen.
Laugh.
As the Rebbe lacht, when the Rebbe laughs, unas the Rebbe lacht, lachen al chsidim. All of the chsidim also laugh. So the onomatopoeia for laughter is usually something like och, 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 which is the Yiddish for ho, 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 ho. Sometimes you'll hear variations on that, but that's the most common one. So now I'm going to share my screen. And
daily wellness, mindfulness, okay, refreshed morning and night.
We have to put up with our ad.
Back in 1964, our founder William Stone created a full-service photo lab for local.
Just remembered about the volume. I'm gonna turn that up, and now it should be better. Then there is a significant add-on in this version, an instrumental add-on that you can go back and listen to it later. You have the link at the top of your page of lyrics to that version. And there are many more versions. That version is a little bit brisk, so it moves along quickly. So we'll try to slow it down. Can we unmute everyone, Rabbi Solish?
Yes, we can unmute. Oh, hold on. Can we unmute everybody? Here's what I can do. I can ask all to unmute.
Okay. So everyone, please unmute yourself.
You have to unmute yourself and get your singing voice ready. I need to mention this one thing. When it comes to Zoom, so time delay, so it may not sound perfect, but it's going to sound as perfect as we can get it.
Okay. All right. So first, I would like to invite everyone to slowly read through the lyrics with me, just reading before we attempt to sing. We'll establish a pace, right? Okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
All right. As the Rebbe zingt,
as the Rebbe zingt,
singen alle Chassidim,
singen alle Chassidim,
la 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 la, la la la
la la la,
singen alle Chassidim. As the Rebbe
zingt, as the Rebbe zingt, alle Chassidim, alle Chassidim,
hi, hi, hop, 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 hi, hop, 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 alle Chassidim, und as the Rebbe
zingt,
Reminds me when I was little, we used to sing that.
Yeah? Okay. How was that? Any questions after reading it through? I've taught this song many times before, but never over Zoom to 57 people. So we'll see. Let's have a go. We'll sing it once. We won't bill ourselves. We won't record it. We won't bill ourselves as super Zoom choirs.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So, as the Rebbe zingt, Rabbi Solish, can you start us off?
As the Rebbe zingt, as the Rebbe
zingt,
I got it.
Schweigen alle Fassiden. Hoffen andere
Now the rabbits will laugh. Now the rabbits will laugh.
Often I cannot see. Okay. That went, I think, as well as can be expected.
All good.
Yay!
Okay.
Good news. Oh.
Bravo.
If you listen to this a few more times and get it into your head, you will develop a very automatic sense of how to conjugate verbs in the third person present, whether it's masculine, feminine, or neuter. You conjugate the verb by adding tess or the T sound at the end. So zingen becomes zinkt, tanzen becomes tanzt, schweigen becomes schweigt, schlafen, schlaft, and lachen, lacht, right? So hopefully this song will stand you in good stead.
Should we mute everybody again?
We can now mute everyone again. If you would all kindly re-mute yourselves.
Okay.
Oops.
Okay. So now I want us to go ahead with our other content for tonight, which is about family and family relationships. And you'll see by the time we get to the end of this, that this will also, this is the most universal thing in the world. Everyone has family and family structures, but you'll see that this also involves an element of Jewish culture. So we start out with dimame. Everything starts out with dimame, mother, right? Dimame. Mame is feminine, as you might expect, and dertate is masculine. We do have more formal words. We can say dimuter and derfoter. These are very German sounding. They're a little bit cold and distant in Yiddish, meaning, do we use these words? Sure, but very few families have, families, I would say, over the past 100 years have the children actually address their parents as Mutter and Vater, unless it's some sort of a situation, like if somebody is in trouble. If a child has been mischievous, then they might plead for mercy with a Vater, but usually it's dimame and der tate. And we have an expression in Yiddish, Gott is a Vater, God is a father. It's actually the full expression. This is from Shalom Aleichem, but it's sort of like morphed into a folk expression, is Wien is a Stadt und Gott is a Vater. That Vienna is a city and God is a father. So meaning these things are unassailably true, but you'll recall that when Jews address God in the second person, it's with du and usually tate. They'll say, you know, speaking in the sort of traditional way about God as a father, they'll say du tate in Himmel, father in heaven. All right. Then we move on to dibobe and der zeide, right? Bobe zeide, the grandparents, dibobe, grandma, der zeide. In American sort of Yinglish, in Yiddish as it's evolved in this country, we usually, in my family, we say bubby and zaidi, right? But the official Yiddish, the klal sprach, the standardized Yiddish that I mentioned in the first session says Bobe and Zeide. I'll just clear up a misconception while I'm here in the neighborhood. You'll sometimes hear about a Bobby Meise, or a Baba Maisa. People think that it's an old wives' tale, that it has something to do with grandmothers, with babas. This is not actually where that expression comes from. It's actually a Baba Maisa, which comes from an early modern Yiddish book of chivalric knight stories called the Bava Buch. It's complicated, but it's a book of sort of fantastical stories, very much in the medieval chivalric tradition, and it's known as the Bava Buch. So any time there's like a tall tale or an unlikely story, that's a Bava Maisa. So just to redeem the Jewish grandmother a little bit. It's not that she's believed to tell untrue stories. I have a question here. D is feminine, the. Der is masculine, the. So I tried to give you the proper article for each of these family relationship nouns. So most of them go along with the gender that you would expect the person to have. So the male ones are der, the female ones are di, and there's going to be one important exception to that, all right? So di bobe der zede. Before that, we have der alter zede, the great-grandfather, right? And this usage, alter, literally means older or previous or prior. And this is very prominent, actually, in the Hasidic world, because there are references to the Rebbe and the Alter Rebbe, the previous Rebbe before that, right? And Rabbi Solish, that would be a primary way of identifying certain figures, right?
Yeah, yeah. The founder of Chabad, who is the first Chabad Rebbe, is called Der Alter Rebbe. So he's not the prior.
Right.
So he's the first of seven, but like OG, like the original, right? The original Chabad Rebbe is known as Der Alter Rebbe. The Rebbe before the last one, it would be the Der Friedeker Rebbe, which means the
earlier.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good. So that usage very much lives on, and that's the sense of Alter Zede, the previous generations. Die alte Bobbe, same thing, but for the grandma, the great-grandma. Okay, now we do have one family relation that is neuter, interestingly enough, and that is das Kind, the child, right? This is the identification of a child without attaching a gender to the child, and the plural of that is die Kinder. And you hear this all the time. It's come into English very prominently in kindergarten, kindergarten, as we would say in Yiddish, right? The garden of children, the place where children grow and flourish is the kindergarten. So that is das Kind, die Kinder. True story. We've pretty much broken the habit, but for a few years, my family was really into Kind bars. And the first time I saw it in the supermarket, I was flipping out that somebody had named this thing a Kind bar. My head was in Yiddish land. And I thought it was amazing that they had made this whole marketing campaign around selling these semi-nutritious energy-packed bars to children.
But there is a story behind that. It's a Jewish man that named it.
Taga?
Oh, yes. Daniel Lubetsky from Mexico City, but he's a philanthropist in New York, and he did it for Chesed.
Oh.
And there is a story with the concentration camp. So Google it, Daniel Lubetsky, Kind Bars.
Okay, awesome. So maybe I wasn't so far off the mark. Maybe.
No?
Yeah. Kind and Kins. All right, yeah. Excellent. Okay. I will Thank Google you. That. All right, now. We do sometimes want to talk about the specific gender of our children. So we have die Tochter, the daughter, and the plural of that. And I included plurals when they were interesting or unusual, in part to give you a sense of the range of how Yiddish nouns can form a plural. And you, when you're learning Yiddish vocabulary, as you learn each noun, you want to learn its gender, In other words, which article goes with it. And you also want to learn how it forms the plural, because some of them are unpredictable. So sometimes there's a vowel change in the middle of the word, and this is one of those cases. So die Tochter goes to plural die Töchter, okay? And there was a singing group a few years ago. Now they've grown up, and I'm not sure that they're still performing, but Binyamin Schachter's daughters sang together as die Schachter Töchter, the Schachter daughters, right? So that's a cute name. So that is die Tochter, die Töchter. You'll hear the expression a lot, a Yiddische Tochter, meaning a Jewish woman. She will seldom be identified as a Yiddische Frau, which would correspond to the German Frau and be a sort of generic way of saying woman. It's more commonly a Yiddische Tochter, a Jewish daughter. Even if we're talking about an adult woman, there's a kind of keen awareness that she's somebody's daughter, right? As opposed to der Sohn, we don't have that usage for boys and for men, but der Sohn is the son, die Sohn is the plural. So just like English, which has a homophone for the sun in a family and the sun that shines on the world with its light, in Yiddish, it's also a homophone. Both words are zun. Der zun is the male child in a family. Die zun is the celestial body. All right. Okay. So der zun, die zin. And then we have a word that can either take the masculine or the neuter, just depends on location, and both of them have come into standard Yiddish, which is der Enkel or das Enkel, a grandchild, okay? And if you go back to the conversation worksheets that I distributed the first week and updated the second week with the English translation, there's a question there about, you know, do you have a grandchild? You have grandchildren, where do they live? So that's Enkel. And then similarly with der or das, with the masculine or the neuter, we have ur enkel. So an alte Zede or an alte Bobe has an ur enkel, a grandchild, a great grandchild. It's another generation, right? So a nice way to bless somebody with long life is may you live to see great grandchildren. So urevanim levanecha, may you see children, may you see your children have children. Okay, die Schwester, sister. One of the interesting things about Schwester is that when it forms the plural, nothing at all changes. So die Schwester means the sister singular, and die Schwester also means the sisters plural. A common expression with Schwester is you'll hear about Schiff's Schwester, ship sisters. You'll sometimes hear about Schiffsbrüder, ship brothers. And this was a word that really arose during the great Jewish migration to this country between 1885 and 1924, when the Immigration Act was promulgated that effectively kept Jews out of the United States starting in 1924. So this word came about to express the almost familial relationship that people came to feel with the strangers that they met on the ship, often traveling in steerage or third class, going from points of embarkation in Europe, whether it was Hamburg or Liverpool or wherever it might have been, coming to the United States, to Ellis Island or to Galveston or to Savannah, wherever people might have landed. They referred to, because it was a journey of between 2 and 3 weeks, depending on weather conditions, and it was a difficult journey, and people kind of trauma bonded during the course of that. And so you'll see a lot of references in Yiddish literature of the time to Schiffsschwester, to your ship sisters and your ship siblings. Okay. Then we have Der Bruder, right? The brother, and Die Brüder. So the plural of Bruder is Brüder. Der Bruder, Die Brüder. And it looks like something got erased or not put in. Oh my. I hope you have a complete version of this. I'm looking at one. Do you have Yiddish for the next word, for the Schwesterkind? No? Oi, oi, oi. This document is not in its final form. I am so sorry. I did it very quickly while caring for children today. Okay, I'm sorry about this. I'll find the updated version and get that out to Rabbi Solish. But the next term that we have is Das Schwesterkind, so the sister's child. Who is your sister's child? Your cousin, right? Whether it's literally your first cousin or whether it's second cousin, third cousin, what have you, the generic word for cousin is Das Schwesterkind, and then the plural is Die Schwesterkinder. And as a kind of slangy thing in American Yiddish, we also see the word cousine. Cousine for men and cousine come about. It's not proper Yiddish, but it was commonly used. And we have a Yiddish film called Die Grüne Cousine, the green cousin, about a cousin who's just newly arrived in the United States and in that sense is still green.
Wouldn't the Schwester's kin be your niece?
No. Nope. Mm-mm.
Not your cousin?
No, it's cousin. Sisters? A cousin. Yeah. So because it's from the perspective not of you as the sister, and it's your sister's child, but rather from the perspective of the next generation, of thinking about mom's Schwesterkind, okay, dad's Schwesterkind. So Schwesterkind is the cousin. Then we have two words for aunt. The kind of proper official Yiddish word is die Mumme. Let me just quickly see if I can call up the right version of this and share my screen with you. Aha, that is the wrong version. Here we go. Oh no, you don't even have the right font. Oi, okay. Let me just share my screen real quick. Sorry about this. Here we go, okay. So, das Schwesterkind, die Schwesterkinder, die Mumme is the aunt, but also die Tante. Die Tante comes into very wide usage, and some of you might have tantes rather than mummes. Okay. Der Vater is the uncle. You get a lot of, you know, the genre of dad jokes that are like very mild, not that funny jokes. You have a lot of dad jokes in Yiddish that feature der Vater, Vater, the fat uncle, because fet means fat and Vetter would be the masculine descriptor in the nominative case. So der Vetter, Vetter, the fat uncle, that comes up a lot. Now, our words for niece and nephew, here those come. We have der Plimenik. Der Plimenik is nephew. And this is a word from Slavic, der Plimenik. And then we can tell it's Slavic because it gets the Slavic feminine ending, diplomenice. Diplomenice is a niece. Okay. All right. Der Schwer is a father-in-law. We also see a lot of jokes about that in Yiddish because the word Schwer also means either heavy or difficult. A problem, a tsore, can be shver, a difficult problem. So when somebody doesn't get along with a father-in-law, then he might be described as a shver, or a shver, a difficult father-in-law. But people love to joke about these things all the time. The shver goes with the shviger, the mother-in-law. So again, this is from the perspective of the married couple. The bride's father to the groom is their shver. The groom's father to the bride is their shver. The shviger is the bride's mother vis-a-vis the father, and the groom's mother vis-a-vis the bride, right? So that's the shviger. And now we get to a fun one, der edim, the son-in-law. Again, this is from the perspective of the parents-in-law. So this is the son-in-law, and edim goes with di shnur. The daughter-in-law is di shnur. Okay? And then, because Jews have been blessed with large extended families in many instances, we have words branching outward. So we have di shvegerin, the sister-in-law, and der shvoger, the brother-in-law. Now here's where things get interesting culturally. I'll just come back so I can see your faces for a moment as I introduce this concept, and then we'll go back to the list. In English, it's always a little bit awkward when you want to talk about your in-laws. And by awkward, I mean a little bit unclear exactly who we're talking about, because technically in-laws are my spouse's parents. But what about the relationship between the two sets of in-laws, between the bride's family and the groom's family? In English, we don't have vocabulary for that, because these are sort of fundamentally separate families that come together at this one point of tangency and connection through the marriage, which is the connection between the bride and the groom. That's not really the underlying cultural assumption of Yiddish. In Yiddish, we assume that when a couple marries, there is now a kind of durable, multifaceted, multi-pronged relationship that is being established between the bride's family and the groom's family, and that these people are now all kin to each other, and they need words, they need vocabulary words that reflect that. So, now going back to share my screen with you, we get the machateniste. We get the, and it's technically the proper Yiddish pronunciation is mechuteniste, and some people have it that way, but a lot of Yiddish speakers, and particularly I think a lot of American Yiddish speakers, have the pronunciation machateniste, and so I put that on because I thought it might be familiar to some, and that is the mother-in-law from the point of view of the other side's parents. So if I'm the bride and my mom is my mom, then my husband's mom is her macheteneste, or my father's macheteneste would be my husband's mom, right? And we have the parallel corresponding relationship going in the other direction with the mechutin, the father-in-law, from the point of view of the other side's parents, right? So this is the direct kinship relationship between the two families, between the parents of the bride and the parents of the groom, kind of irrespective of not having to go through the bride and the groom in order to name that relationship. And so generally, those people, that couple, are your mechutonim or machatonim, your in-laws, as spoken about from the other side, okay? And these family relationships give rise, of course, to all kinds of fun sprichwerter, sayings and proverbs, and I thought that I would share a couple of them with you. So one of them is, literally, what kind of an in-law am I to you? But that really means, what have I got to do with you? Or even more broadly, how is this any of my business? Like, why are you involving me? Why are you talking to me? And then another fun one, I told you that a son-in-law is an edem. So the expression is an emeser gan edem, playing on the phrase gan eden, which means paradise or the Garden of Eden. So this can be said either sincerely or ironically. If you just adore your son-in-law and you feel like he treats your daughter like a queen and you're so happy that they're together and you just celebrated Father's Day and he's a wonderful father to your grandchildren, you might say, an emeser gan edem. He is a real Garden of Eden son-in-law. Right? So it's not Eden, it's Edom. But if you are really regretting the match that your daughter made and he's not treating her well and, you know, things are not going well between the two of them, then you might very sarcastically and bitterly say, ugh, an emeser gan edem. Ugh, such a son-in-law as no one ever saw, right? In the words of Fiddler on the Roof. Okay, I'm seeing real-time feedback that parents have complained about the lack of a word like machatenista in English, because it's really a very important relationship and we don't have a direct word for it. Okay, so I think we're going to make breakout groups. So if you can get to work on making them, Rabbi Solish, are you still able to do that? To set up breakout group?
Yeah, I think I could. I can do it. I mean, it'll take me a few minutes.
That's okay, because I want to spend a few minutes going over the vocabulary that we've...
How many people in a breakout room do you usually like?
I think that no more than 5 or 6. So if you make 10 breakout rooms,
perfect.
We'll be good.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be awesome. All right. So, I'm going to ask you about some things that other people are doing. And I just want you to give me answers that are grammatical. They don't have to be truthful. So you can tell me that somebody is sleeping. Er schlaft, sie schlaft. You can tell me that somebody is laughing. Er lacht, sie lacht. You can tell me that somebody is singing, you can tell me that somebody is dancing. All I care about is for you to correctly conjugate the verb and put it with the article er for he or sie for she. Okay, that's the whole point of this exercise. So I'm gonna call on people as I see them on my screen. And you can pass if you really don't want to answer, but try to answer. And if you're not sure, call a friend. It's a friendly crowd. Okay. Rezel. Yeah? Rezel, vos tut nasano. Vos tut nasano. Oh, and unmute yourself as you answer. Oh, I should specify. Rezala. Rosita. Rezala, Rezala. Vos tut nasano.
Yeah. Er lern Yiddish mit de
Lernerke. Lernerke. Okay. Lernt Yiddish. I'm gonna simplify and say lernt Yiddish.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, breakout rooms are a problem. That's fine. We'll forget the breakout room. We'll manage. Erlernt Yiddish. Okay. Nasano. Vos tut Edel. Adele Northrup, Was tut Adel?
Oof. I'm so sorry. I'm not sure. What does the question mean again? I'm so sorry.
What is she doing? What is she doing? Just give me a verb.
Tanzen.
Okay. So, what should our pronoun be for she?
Sie tanzt.
Okay, Edel, you have to make the truth teller on the funnel. You have to give us a little. Adele, you have to give us a little tanz. You have to just give us. Nathanael said you're tanzing. You have to give us a little tanz. Perfect. Okay. Now you have told the truth. Okay. Edel, was tut Alyssa Sultanic? Was tut sie? What is she doing? Adele, can you unmute yourself? What's good, Alyssa? What is Alyssa doing?
Sie schweigt.
Okay, das ist damit. Sie schweigt. Okay. Alyssa, was tut Tata und Mama Margolis? Rhoda und Irman. Was tut Mishpoches Margolis?
How do you say they?
They. This is a hard one because we didn't go over third person plural. But you just throw a verb out and we'll help you conjugate it.
Okay. They schlaft.
They
schlafen.
They schlafen.
Schlafen.
So our base is schlaf. And we're going to add the ending langer nun, the long nun down at the end, ze schlafen. Okay, so Margolis is, give us a little, there you go. Okay. Rhoda Margolis. Was tut Sharna Parlo?
Sharna Parlo?
Sharna Perlo, she's on the second of my screens. Was tut Sharna Perlo?
Ich weiß nicht.
That's a good answer. You don't know. Just make something up. Just make a verb.
Sie schlaft.
Okay. Hey, the popular one. Sie schlaft. We can see her there. Ooh, sie schlaft. Okay, Sharna, wech sich auf, wake up. Sharna, was tut Scott Glaser?
Erlacht.
Oh, 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 oh. You have to laugh in Yiddish. There you go. Okay. Scott, was tut Harriet? What's Harriet doing?
Harriet reden a bissel Yiddish. Oh, you froze.
Okay.
So sorry, your picture froze on me.
Am I back?
Yeah, we can see you now. We can hear you
okay.
now.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. It's like the worst thing, the thing we all... of Zoom. Connection unstable. Sie redet ein bisschen Yiddish? Wait, sorry, I lost the thread. Scott Schloff, no, name, Scott Lacht. Scott Lacht, on was tut Harriet? Oh, you're muted now.
Schlucht.
Sie reden und verstehen Yiddish.
Sie redt with a S at the end. Sie redt und versteht Yiddish. She reads and she speaks and understands Yiddish, right? Halavai. So should it be. Harriet redt und versteht Yiddish. Ja, und das ist Ames. And it's true because we're speaking Yiddish now and he understands. Sie versteht. Okay. So, remember from last week, if you can pull up your sheet from last week, let's go back over some of those other pronouns, right? Ich keeps the base form of the verb. So ich lach, ich schlof, ich red, yeah? Ich wohne in Atlanta, ich wohne in Toco Hills, Atlanta.
Ich lach.
Ich lach. Good.
Ich wohne in Florida, in Miami.
Okay. Du lachst. Du wohnst. We add a samach tes. We add that ST sound for the second person. Right? And then Z and S, third person, is familiar from our song tonight, where we're adding just the tes, the T sound at the end. Lacht, singt, schloft, tanzt, right? And then what happens when we get to mir, we? Mir singen, mir lachen, mir reden. We add that nun sound, right? And then we have ya'al, you plural, or a very respectful you, which is expressed by the pronoun ir, and that is a repeat of the third person, where we're adding that tes, that T sound at the end, lacht, singt, schloft, and they, zay, it's a repeat of we. They singen, they tanzen, they lachen, they schweigen, they schlafen. Okay, so now I'm going to keep picking on people, but I'm going to expand the question of what people are doing or where people are living so that we can practice more of these pronouns that we've learned. Karen George, yeah? Wo wohnst du? Where do you live?
Hold on. Ich wohne Atlanta.
Du wohnst in Atlanta. Good. Und Steve Horowitz, du wohnst in Atlanta? Jo, du wohnst in Atlanta. Okay. Jennifer Malkin, wo wohnen Karen und Steve?
Karen and Steve wohnen in Atlanta.
Jo, they wohnen in Atlanta. They're good. They're fine. Okay. Wo ist die Mischproche, was wohnt in Boston? Wo wohnt in Boston? Siehst du eine Mischproche? Is there a family here that lives in Boston?
Ja.
Ja.
In Boston.
Wer wohnt in Boston?
Deborah, Sierra, and Zoe Weiss.
Deborah, Sierra, and Zoe.
Wir wohnen in Boston.
Sonja, wo wohnt Mischproches Weiss? Ja, du, Sonja, wo wohnen sie?
Thanks, sorry. Ask the question one more time.
Wo wohnen sie? Where do they live? Wo wohnen sie?
Sie wohnen in Boston, I think.
Ja, sie wohnen in Boston.
You're frozen.
Sie wohnen in Boston. Okay.
Okay.
Am I unfrozen?
You're
am I
off and on.
I
just give it a second. Just give it a second.
Am I thawed yet?
No, but you look nice.
Am I still frozen?
No, you're back.
Okay. It's a whole new reason to smile at my students because I never know when I'll be frozen in whatever expression I have on my face. Okay. Speech bubble. Wie heißt du noch einmal speech bubble? Wie heißt du? What's your name?
Lisa. Ich Lisa.
Okay. Ich heiß Lisa. Du heißt Lisa. Ja?
Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Die Weiß-Mischproche. Mischproche ist Weiß. Deborah, Sierra und noch einmal. Sie wohnen in Boston. Was tun sie? What are they doing? Does not have to be true.
They schlafen.
They schlafen. Ja, Mischproche ist Weiß. They schlafen. Yiddish class is a little boring sometimes. They schlafen. Okay. Mitchell Gray, wo wohnst du? Mitchell Gray, wo wohnst du? Where do you live?
How do you say I?
Ich wohn.
Ich wohn in Atlanta.
Du wohnst in Atlanta. Du wohnst in Atlanta und Steve wohnt in Atlanta. Joy, wo wohnen sie? Wo wohnen sie? Unmute yourself. Wo wohnen
sie? I don't know. I was born in Atlanta, but I don't know
how to say it. Yeah, but we're talking about Mitchell and Steve. Wo wohnen sie? Where do they live?
They live in Atlanta.
Yeah. They wohnen in Atlanta.
Wohnen in Atlanta.
Okay. Now, everybody who lives in Atlanta, final thing, I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself if you live in Atlanta. And we're going to proclaim that we live in Atlanta. Mir
wohnen
in Atlanta.
Mir wohnen in Atlanta.
Mir wohnen in Atlanta. Okay, so I'm going. I see that I have this unstable connection. I'm going to end class. I'm going to try out different places in my house and see where I have a better connection for next week. We will have breakout rooms so that we can shore up all of our practice. But in the meantime, look over your vocabulary from last time and from this time, and we will have a summative exercise next time. There will be no tests or quizzes, but there will be a summative conversation exercise where we get to use some of this vocabulary about our families and where we live and where different people in our families live. And we're also going to add in a little bit about our body parts. And that will be our final session. So
can you send the corrected sheet? Can you send?
And I will send the updated sheet to Rabbi Solesh. And I'm so sorry that I sent the wrong one.
The questions Miriam. Are asking, I didn't have any vocabulary for that. Was that somewhere?
Or that was last week's vocabulary.
Not this one about the name. It was when people said so-and-so is dancing, so-and-so is sleeping.
From the song.
So that's all from the song.
You
that's
just take it. We were just taking it from the song.
Yes, you're putting together your knowledge of present tense verb forms from last time and the song vocab from this time.
Thank you.
And hold Miriam. In Yiddish.
Miriam.
Yeah.
Miriam, could you send these out earlier in the week rather than an hour or two before the class, please?
I will try. I'm creating all new materials. I'll try to get to it earlier in the week, but this is a pandemic parenting moment, so it's hard. But I'll do my best.
Because not all of us have printers at home. We have to go elsewhere to print them.
Okay, so I'll try to get it to you before Shabbos. So that you have time to print
okay.
it. That'll be my goal.
Thank you.
Miriam, I think we should finish with As de Rebbe Zinks.
If you want another rousing rendition, unmute yourselves. I'm always happy to sing in Yiddish.
Miriam, before we sing, I need a PDF of the first lesson with the English translation as well as the transliteration.
Okay, that
sounds good. Yeah,
Rabbi Solish can send that.
Yeah, I've sent that out already. You should have got that, but if not, I will definitely send that to you privately.
Okay,
I got you covered.
Thank you.
Okay, so when I see everyone unmuted, then we can start singing. I'm not doing a solo here. You're welcome to leave if you have other things you need to do, but if you're staying, you're singing.
Okay. As the Rebbe sings,
as the Rebbe sings, thinking all of
holidays, thinking all of holidays, la 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 la.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.